What did you find as you examined where the money has been going? And do you think there are any clues there as to where the money might go in the future?
Thank you, Francis. Yeah, it's good to be back. And what we found, the latest data we have, of course, is through the end of fiscal year 11, because fiscal year 12, we've still got 3 days left to spend money, and I'm sure it's being spent quite nicely over those last 3 days. So we won't have fiscal year 12 data available for quite some time now. But the trends that we saw beginning in fiscal 11 is that there's a slight downturn in spending, but the downturn is not as dramatic as we would have thought it would. And there's some interesting steadiness, if you will, in defense spending on contracts. One of the most intriguing thing that we found, though, is if you divide defense spending into two categories, and that is money that's spent essentially under contract for either goods or services or research and development, and money that's spent for non-contract outlays, which is mostly pay for federal civilians and for military active and guard and reserve military, we're pretty much right where we were in 1990 when it comes to payment to for payroll. We're about double where we were in 1990 with respect to money spent on contract, and that's adjusting for inflation. That's been a huge increase. It says that most of the increase in defense for the last 10 years, more of it has gone to contracts than it has to personnel.
As you look at those numbers and think about where we might be headed as a result of however much it turns out to be, $500 billion or whatever, any reason to think that what some folks are talking about as far as the dramatic effects to the workforce, especially the civilian workforce at DOD, might happen? Or is it possible that we might see more of a balance than some people expect compared to the contract dollars that you're talking about?
It's a little bit of both. The cuts that have already been made, you know, that first $900 billion that was dictated by the Budget Control Act from August of last year, DOD's share of that cuts, the procurement and the investment accounts, that is, you know, buying things and do research and development, took a disproportionately large share of the hit. And civilian personnel and military personnel were relatively protected in those cuts. But in the cuts that would come forward under sequestration, military personnel would obviously be exempt, assuming the president exercises his authority to do that. But civilian personnel would be under a significant hit. OMB says 9.4%, but that 9% is over the whole year. The sequestration doesn't kick in until at least the second quarter, so it would be 12 or 15 or 18%, depending on the implementation date.
And that comment, Dave, is, I think, particularly insightful because that's something that seems to be lost in the whole conversation about sequestration, especially vis-a-vis DOD, and that is that this is not something that we're going to see. This is not some axe is going to fall at 6 a.m. January 3rd, and the whole world is going to be transformed instantly.
No, it's going to take quite a while. In fact, we could spend a lot of time talking about what those procedures might be, but right now it would just be speculative because OMB has not issued its guidance, and we actually don't know. There may even be a lag between execution, if you will, which is this is the day you have to execute by law, and implementation, which is develop your plan, submit them back to OMB, we'll review and approve it, and then let you know when you can start furloughing people. We don't know the answer to those questions, Francis.
And there are seem to be just a ton of questions that we don't really know the answer to. And so that's why I think the information that's contained in this document, Dave, is particularly insightful, because at least it there's certainty in what we already know. And you're looking at and analyzing information that we already know. Is that
right?
Was that the point of you doing this? I mean,
that
I know you
point.
Do it every year.
We do. We take a 20-year look. This is actually 22 years of data here. We look at those trends. And the trends are, there are three big trends. As I mentioned, one is that the growth has really been in contracts. The reduction over the last 4 years, since we hit the peak in 2008, has been fairly modest, just a couple of percent a year. And that reduction is in both the goods and the services that we buy. Projecting forward, though, I think that you'll see a more dramatic reduction in the amount of money going to contractors, either on, both on the services side and for hardware, for weapon systems and research and development.
Now, one of the things that you do in this report, you list the top 20 contractors in 2001 and 2011, 10 years difference, and you note the shifts in those in those lists. What do you draw, what conclusions, if any, do you draw from the way those lists look different, 01 versus 11?
There's three big ways in which they're different, Francis. One, of course, is that the companies that were there in 2001, some of them have been bought up by other companies. So there's continued to be consolidation. We saw that initially in the 1990s during the drawdown, but we continued to see that consolidation in defense contractors even as the budgets were going up in the aughts, if you will. The second big difference is that we see more services companies moving into the top 20, and that reflects the increase in the amount of funding that goes for services. Some of that's driven by the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, some of it driven by the inability of the government to hire and retain the workforce it needs to have to do the work in-house, some of it with the complexity of the work. The third thing we see is that we now have three large healthcare companies that are in the Defense Department's top 20 vendors, and we only had one that was there in 2001. This reflects the growth in spending for healthcare for military active duty dependents and retirees, which is growing at a rate 2.5 times faster than it is in the civilian world.
And is it fair to say then that that data backs up Secretary Gates's conclusion that healthcare costs, I think the quote he used was eating the Pentagon alive?
Precisely. You see it in that arena in the services contracts, which is roughly $170 billion a year. Three of the top seven companies are healthcare companies. I wouldn't necessarily say yet it's eating them alive, but if those growth trends continue, then in fact a disproportionately large share of the defense budget is going to be to pay for healthcare for veterans and retirees, not veterans, but for retirees and dependents.